Okay, good evening, YouTube. Welcome back to this next episode, the second episode of the 23-24 season of FPL Family. I'm Lee, this is Sam, and Sam, it's nearly here. Couple of weeks to go. You've been a busy bee over the last couple of weeks. Every podcast I go on nowadays, I'm hearing your voice.
People keep asking me to do things. It's really
very
nice,
isn't it? It's very good. How's the podcast been going so far with Jules and Kelly?
Oh, the official pod?
The official pod. Doing all right, isn't it?
Yeah, it's great.
Very good.
Yeah, I've got another one of those coming this week.
The challenge I'm finding, though, is that my draft is changing rapidly. And I have to say, I've been enjoying the summer series this afternoon. So for a change, we've had coverage in the UK of the summer series. So the game Chelsea versus Fulham is on right now. So if you're in the chat and something significant happens, let us know. And something significant has just happened, by the way. So just as we were coming online, Nkunku has scored. And I did that exact thing. I sort of rolled my eyes a little bit because...
Can I have a fourth striker, please?
He's on my radar and I really want to have Nunes and I really like Nkunku. And then I'm watching that game and I hadn't really... Obviously, I've had Chilwell on my mind. I'm watching Chilwell. He gets an assist from the corner. He had a good shot parried. I'm like, oh, how do I find 0.5 for Chilwell? It's like, it's that time of the year, isn't it? Where the drafts are changing left, right and centre.
Do you know what really makes me laugh, though? When the game first launched, we were all like, there's no second strikers.
Yeah.
Just Haaland.
Yeah.
And, you know, Burnham. Just go with... And then all of a sudden, we're all going, maybe I have Nkunku. Maybe I have Darwin. Oh, Jao Pedro's been doing really well. Maybe I have... And suddenly, it's like, there's about five of them that could all be in the second striker spot.
Absolutely true. And Chelsea, for sure, seem to be cooking under Pochettino. Shock horror. Because what a top, top manager. Guys, welcome to FPL Family. If this is your first time here with us at the channel... Welcome to the 23-24 season. This is our second video. You can go back a couple of weeks and watch the first one if you like. But today is an update on that video. 15,000 people watched that first video of the season, Sam. So thank you if you watched the video we did a couple of weeks ago. Today is an update on that. So we're going to be sharing our latest drafts and how much they've changed in the last couple of weeks.
Yep.
Mine has changed, but there is a core that has remained.
Yep.
Let's just say that way. So I feel like that core is pretty set. I'm not going to say locked in because you never really can in pre-season, but I feel quite set.
Okay.
But those players around the periphery, they are changing on the daily at the moment. And there's lots of thoughts going around in my head, which we will discuss
when
a bit later on.
When I do these things and change my team daily, you go, you're thinking it too much. Now you're in that massively.
I do it every year, right? I spend most of the summer just like watching the friendlies and then the game launches. And I'm just like, yeah, I'll set my team up. Get as low a team idea as possible because you've got to do that, haven't you? And then just like let it happen, sit it in auto pick mode, or just pick a team and just leave it for a bit. I'm tinkering too much this. I'm overthinking it already, and we've got two weeks until game week one. I'm already overthinking.
Guys, when we see Lee at Fest, he's going to be under stress.
But you know what? It feels like that sort of season, though, doesn't it?
What?
It feels like there is lots of options, right? There is for sure a bit of a, as I said before, a bit of a template core forming, maybe.
Well, there's a Twitter core.
Can't call it Twitter anymore, by the way.
There's an X core.
There's an X core. Can we call it an X core? You don't have Twitter on your phone, do you?
No.
When the icon changed from... So anyone that's got Twitter, and I'm going to say in the UK, but I think it's a global thing that Elon's put in. Like, little blue Twitter bird changed to just a black X. It's weird. I don't like it. I don't think you can say that. That's a bit harsh. I just don't like that. Like, Twitter is a thing, right? Twitter, the little tweet bird.
It's not a thing
you
now.
You tweet, you get the bird. Bird's tweet makes sense. Now it's X.
Yeah, but you're not going to be tweeting anymore.
You're going to be what? Xing? I don't know. Anyway, it's weird and I don't like it. Let's say hello to a few people, Sam. Before we do that, let's just say, yeah, so teams we'll be talking about and how that's changed. We have got a whole section based on moves as well, the summer transfer window. So new players to the league, but also those that have moved in between Premier League
clubs.
Teams. So like, you know, Mason Mount, for example, we'll be talking about. McAllister we'll be talking about a little bit. So we'll do a little bit on the transfer window. And I would love to know in the comments, guys, and in the live chat, if you're in tonight listening to us live, who of all those players that are kind of moving around or that are new to the league, are you most interested in from an FPL perspective? Who are you really excited about? Get in the comments below. Is it Nkunku for Chelsea? Is it McAllister or Szoboszlai? Is it Maddison that's gone from Leicester, who looked pretty bad against Liverpool yesterday? I know they've gone down, lost a few players, but we scored a few goals yesterday, 4-0. Is it Maddison that's gone to Spurs? Is it Declan Rice and how he's going to affect Arsenal? There's loads and loads of moves going on. So would love to know in the comments, guys, who is the player that you are most excited about that's made a move either in or around the Premier League over the course of this summer. So interested to know that. So we'll talk about that as well. But before we do all of that, let's say hello to a few people, Sam, because Paul Cook is in and was one of the first in tonight. So Paul, welcome to the live stream. We've got Steve Winyard in with the super chat straight away. Oh. Thank you, Steve, for the super chat. I'm back here to troll Sam with Spurs being Spursy. Steve?
When have we been Spursy? Hang on, wait, stop. Steve.
If you've been watching Spurs in pre-season.
We haven't been Spursy yet.
Been all right.
So far.
Been all right.
Not being Spursy. I'm not saying that's not going to happen.
Yeah, it could still happen.
It will still happen. But so far, not Spursy.
Yeah. Ken's Bromsgrove. Hey, Ken's, how are you in? How are you doing, mate? Nice to see you. I haven't seen Ken's for a little while. So, Ken's, how are you? Had a tough year, but I'm back. Refresh, Ken's, whatever you've been going through, mate. This is the place to be. This is the place to just take the mick out of each other on FPL. This is what we do. We like to have a good rank, but if you don't get a good rank and you want to take a 48-point hit like Cyberdeck does every week,
it's time
that's
here.
Also fine. It's also fine.
Please tell me good old Nigel the Crab is in.
Nigel the Crab, I have seen him in. I think he's there. He's in. We did a little Zoom call with him the other day, didn't we? And I'll tell you what, I learnt as much from that as I know it's supposed to be us giving the patrons advice. Si was absolutely brilliant.
I loved talking to Si the other day.
Oh, got some brilliant insight from across Europe about how Ten Hag's going to set up with Hoyland. Is that his name? Hoyland, the new boy, and how it's going to affect Jadon Sancho. Got me thinking. I was like, fair play, Si. Brilliant.
Too many hoys.
So Daniel Banks is in. How are we doing, Daniel? Spurs travel to Thailand only for a game to be called off. Sounds pretty Spursy to me. Has that happened?
Oh, yeah, that did happen. Called off? Yeah, but our game against Leicester, it got called. Did you not see it? Honestly, there was like a monsoon that appeared.
Some pretty insane rain around the
they
Man City.
They squeegeed the pitch.
Yeah.
But in doing that, they took all the lines off the pitch. They then tried to repaint the lines, but the pitch was still waterlogged. So 15 minutes before kickoff, they called it off.
Decent.
So basically, the Spurs players and the Leicester players just walked around in the rain, waving at people.
Nice.
And then they came home.
Nice.
Well, actually, we went to Singapore.
What about City? They had a game called off, didn't they, for the same reason? Is that part of the same tournament? I don't know. I'm sure I saw something on Twitter.
No.
Not Twitter. I'm sure I saw something on X about Man City's game being called off for...
Oh, I don't know.
A lot of rain.
No one can ever tell me that Spurs don't have a trophy anymore.
Correct. The Tiger Cup. Is that what it was called?
The Tiger Cup
going alongside the Aldi Cup from a few years ago.
I think I should go and book a stadium tour so I can see
Get the open double-decker bus booked, Spurs fans. Here we go.
Well, bring a replica next week when we go down there.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. What a big trophy. Nobby is in. Hey, Nobby, we need to talk about Havertz. We can talk about Havertz a bit later on if you wish, Nobby. If he is the one that you are looking forward to, then... to seeing this season, then yes, we'd love to talk about Havertz. Steve Winyard in with another super chat. Thank you, Steve, and another super chat. The Kane saga, Sam. Spurs being Spursy. If I play Champions League fantasy, I am having Kane from Bayern Munich. Is this going to happen now? Let's rip the band-aid off and discuss this. Looks kind of likely, doesn't it? Looks kind of likely.
Yeah, I mean, they've got to meet with Levy this week, so...
I don't think Daniel Levy would even have that meeting if he wasn't going to sell him.
I think the reality is, if they offer... They haven't offered enough yet. If they offer 90 add-ons...
Nah. He's going to... Daniel Levy...
That's what Levy wants. Levy wants 90.
Daniel Levy's going to want the record sale, right? Because so the record sale is about 105, isn't it?
Well...
I think.
He wants 90 is what is being...
He's going to ask for more.
Is being touted.
Right.
Is he for a 30-year-old with 1 year on his contract?
Yeah, come on. It's Harry Kane. Genuinely, the more I've thought about it, the more I think that maybe it's the right thing to do. He's not going to be playing against other Premier League clubs. He's going to be out of country. He can always come back if he wants to in the way that Bale did. You're going to get 100 million for a player in their 30s with a year left on their contract. That's a good deal. If you take all of the Harry Kane emotion out of it, it's a good deal for Spurs.
For those of you that listened... or didn't listen to the Q&A I did with Az on Friday, we had a long conversation about Kane, and I said, this is the one circumstance, Bayern or PSG, that I am actually happy about, because as a Spurs fan, he leaves not going anywhere that can hurt us, bringing in a big lump sum of money which we need to reinvest and build the club back up.
Yeah. In defence especially, it enables you to buy almost a whole back line. Right?
Yeah, we can buy a couple of centre backs, which we need. It allows us to... He can be a Spurs legend then. In the same way that when Bale left, he didn't go to another Premier League club. And the move to another Premier League club is the thing that kills it for Spurs fans.
If he goes to United, it's a different story.
Yeah, totally. And if he walks for free and goes to Chelsea next summer, his whole... everything about him at Spurs.
Any other London club, and it's just a bit dead, isn't it?
Yeah. And that kind of, oh, you want to come back and be an ambassador. You want to learn to do coaching badges. You want to all this that. Stuff when you're in the future.
Yeah.
That's all tarnished if you do that, in the way that it was for like Sol Campbell and players like that. So if he goes to Bayern Munich now, I'm actually all right with it. Because I also said, the key for me, the key difference is, and I'm going to sound ridiculous when I say this, but when you watch Postecoglou Spurs, Kane doesn't naturally fit to that style of play.
I'll tell you who does, though.
But Richarlison...
I think Richarlison does.
Richarlison is like Brazilian Richarlison, not Everton Richarlison.
I like that.
Under Postecoglou. Because he fits the system. The system's built for him.
And that's what he's been playing in pre-season.
Yeah, so whenever Richarlison's been on the pitch, the Spurs system has worked so much better than when Kane's been on the pitch.
Do you like Richarlison as an FPL asset if Harry Kane leaves the club?
If Harry Kane leaves the club, the first thing I'll do, after posting "I love you, Harry" on social,
crying emoji,
and cry, is go into my FPL team and put Richarlison in my team.
Without Maddison or with Maddison? No, spoiler alert, you've got Maddison in
right
now.
I would swap them because it saves 0.5 as well. And Richarlison's going to be...
cheaper?
Yeah, seven. He's a 7 million midfielder, okay. So I can save 0.5. I can free up... I can stop worrying about the second striker fitting Kane in. That means I can't have Darwin, who, by the way... loving Darwin.
Talk about him later.
This is the one circumstance that I actually feel okay about the Kane thing.
All right. Okay. Well, we had another super chat message from Duncan Crawford, who has been, Sam, get this, an FPL Family YouTube channel member for 16 months. 16 months, Duncan. So thank you for becoming a member 16 months ago of the YouTube FPL Family YouTube channel. And if you guys want to become a member ahead of the new season, then there is a little button that says join next to the subscribe button. We'd love you to come and join us here on the FPL Family YouTube channel, and you get your comments highlighted and the opportunity to ask questions, as Duncan has done there. Evening, Lee and Sam. All the slackers here from Aberdeen Airport. God, I need this holiday. So it sounds as if Duncan has been tinkering so much with his FPL team, he's had to have holiday, Sam. He's had to have a holiday. Speaking of members and Patreon followers, Nigel the Crab, Mr. Cyberdet, is in the house this evening. Lovely to talk to you the other day, Simon.
It really was.
Evening, or as I said on Friday, which is when we had the conversation with him, if Levy had no intention of selling Kane, he wouldn't be talking to Bayern. So Solomon might prove a bargain at 5.5. So listen, lots of Spurs chat that we could have. Tarbo Gama is also in tonight. He's saying, you're absolutely right, Sam. Richarlison is a much better fit for Ange's system. It's all about the Ange system going forward. And actually, Richarlison is better than Kane in that system.
Because I don't think we'd use the Kane money to buy a forward. I think we'd go and buy two centre-backs.
Feels like it,
Because we've got Richarlison and he really likes him. And he really, really likes Gio. If Gio stays, I think Gio gets some game time this year as well.
You could be right. Jack Brockenshire, thank you, Jack, for the comment. Oi, Sam, Richarlison was actually pretty good for Everton. Mind your own business.
No, but I didn't mean it like that. I didn't mean that in a disrespectful way to Everton. I just meant...
Brazilian Richarlison. Not Everton, Richarlison. Jack has taken some umbrage to that, I'll be honest.
Right, okay. Everton fans, I apologise. I didn't mean that offensively to Everton. I just meant that at the World Cup, Richarlison was like peak.
Yeah.
Whereas for Everton...
Keep digging, Sam.
Stropped around a bit, didn't he? Looking a bit frustrated. Oh. Which is basically what he did for Spurs last season. Stropped about a bit.
There go all of the YouTube subscribers that are Everton fans. None of them are here anyway.
You're a Liverpool fan.
That's true. Matthew Rigby is here. Hey, Matthew. Who else we got? Webby is in. Evening, Lynn, Sam. Really want Darwin for Chaos Ball. But Jesus is so safe with ownership and fixtures. It's a real conundrum between... Do I go a little bit out there with Darwin or do I go safe with Gabriel Jesus? Well, we will be talking about both of them a bit later on. Well, I think that's the narrative on, I was going to say it again, on X rather than Twitter. I'm going to, screw this, I'm calling it Twitter. I'm not calling it X.
You'll get blocked.
The Twitter template does feel a little bit more... Elon's going to block me. He really cares about FPL, doesn't he? Really cares about me.
He really cares about you calling it X.
He's really over here watching us on the YouTube channel. Elon, hi, if you're watching. It does feel as if Gabriel Jesus is a little bit of the safer pick over Darwin. I think that is the narrative. That's the way it feels. So
I don't like that narrative.
That's how it feels over on X.
We'll talk about that later.
Trini Guna is in. How are we doing, Trini? Nice to see you. Who we got? We've got Joe Thurgood. Very nice to see you. But Sam, it's all well and good us finally playing attacking football, Joe says, the Spurs fan. But we need centre backs badly.
Yeah, but we get them if we sell. We're still in for two, aren't we? And yeah. I was reading from Fabrizio. Yeah.
Fabrizio Romano.
Yeah, I was reading from him earlier on today that we're still in for a couple.
Okay.
And that it, you know, that, so let's see. I think I don't think we start. I mean, I don't see us not buying one. The question is, do we just do Spursy things and buy one that's rubbish because we're getting towards the end?
Entirely possible. Yeah, yeah. Entirely possible.
We're going on Saturday. Anyone else coming to Spurs on Saturday? Sunday.
Who are you playing?
We're going.
Yeah,
I
know I'm going, but it's a Spurs game. I haven't paid that much attention. Who are we playing? It's Shakhtar, isn't
Shakhtar,
it? In a friendly.
Yeah.
Oh, great. Okay.
Yeah, they're trying to make amends for pinching Solomon, aren't they?
Is that right? Okay.
Yeah. It's for charity. It's a charity match for the war.
Very good. All right. Well, let's keep talking. Guys, keep the chat going. I noticed, actually, one of the things that I've done this wrong, right? But as usual, in FPL Family Style,
I've done
this wrong.
What have you done?
So I've done a little one. Oh, no, I did keep it in. I thought I'd just done the images of the players and not put the chat in, but I have put the chat in, so excellent. So here we go. This is a little bit of chat before we talk about our drafts and how we're looking and players that are still on our watch list.
Yeah.
Some players here. So we've got McAllister, we've got Nkunku, we've got Mount, we've got Timbers as well from Arsenal. What are we saying about this new Arsenal kit, by the way?
It looks like a bumblebee on speed.
I like it.
No, you don't.
But I think that's because I spent some time with the Arsenal team over in the US on the little trip that I did. And I think I've been brainwashed by it a little bit. I think I've seen so much of this kit that I'm like, oh, actually, I quite like it. You're not convinced, are you? You're not convinced.
I mean, you won't miss them coming, will you?
You will not miss them coming. You will not. Players on the radar, Sam, on the FPL radar that are either new to the league, as in brand new to the league, or have moved between clubs in the Premier League. We will discuss, I'm sure, some of these players here. Get in the chat, guys. Let us know which players you guys want us to talk about here. I'd like us to start, actually, in goal. So Onana has come in for Manchester United. Probably a little bit cheaper in FPL than I was expecting him to be.
Did you think he would be 5-5?
Yes, yeah. I did. Because I thought then you might have a decision to make with Shaw. I still think the decision is there to be made with Luke Shaw, because Luke Shaw's obviously got the upside of attacking threat and assists and stuff. I do think Onana is going to be that sort of keeper where
he'll be involved.
He'll be involved. You get pass completion rate. Yeah. If United keep a lot of the ball, which we're expecting, I guess, going into the new season, he will get a lot of that sort of, you know, their pass completion.
And the saves
bonus,
should
right?
be there as well.
The saves you'd expect to be there, I suppose, as well. Yeah, I mean, he's you probably know more about him than I do, but the bits that I have seen of him and that I do know of Onana is that he's that sort of keeper. He's a top keeper, right? Let's not beat around the bush. United have signed a top keeper. Is he an upgrade on De Gea? I think United fans generally would say yes, but probably time will tell. I personally didn't mind De Gea, particularly from a shot-stopping perspective. But Ten Hag wants a keeper that is far more comfortable with the ball at his feet. I think Onana will drop one or two clangers over the season.
Oh, 100%.
Because he's a bit of a high-risk keeper like that.
Yeah.
But he will more than make up for it, I think, in the way that he will launch attacks from the back, in the way that United haven't had with De Gea for the last couple of years.
It's weird that you said that there was still a conversation, because for me, it ended the conversation. As soon as he was 5, I was like, it's no conversation now, Luke Shaw's gone.
Yeah.
Because I just felt like, yes, Luke Shaw does get attacking returns, but also we've seen large swathes of last season where he played him at centre-back through various different reasons. And when he's in those positions, he's less of that attacking threat. So for me, when Onana arrived, I was like, well, at 5 million, I can still go with the 9 million total goalie spend by having him, because I'm investing in Manchester United's first choice goalkeeper. So I don't need to worry about rotation or anything like that. He will get saves. He will get pass completion rate.
He'll get bonus, won't he?
Yeah, I think
he will get the bonus.
He will rack up bonus points. And I also think from the way that he will carry the ball, there's a good chance he picks up a couple of assists over the course of the season as well. Because
quite
he'll
possibly.
Just... So for me, I was like, well, actually... And when you look at other teams, and I was saying, I said this on the pod, and I think you shared it on X.
Yeah.
The clip that they took of me from the pod that they sent to us was of me talking about Onana. And one of the reasons that I said it was because, you know, if you look at the other players, the other goalies that come in at 5... The likes of Ramsdale, for example, at Arsenal. Although if Raya
could be being linked at the moment. Yeah, that's an interesting one, isn't it?
But leave Raya aside for a second. With Ramsdale, yes, I could have him. But at Arsenal, there's a whole heap of 5 million nailed on defenders like Gabriel, like Saliba, that you could have. Whereas at Manchester United, yes, there are some 5 million defenders, but they aren't completely nailed on and they don't offer the same level of attacking threat as...
You're probably having... If you're going United defender,
think you want
you're going short.
So you've got to spend that extra 0.5. Yeah. Whereas for me, I feel like, well, with Onana, I can spend the only five. I can use that defender slot for... a defender from Chelsea or Arsenal to cover them out and get attacking threat from them. And I've got a goalkeeper who I think will make saves, be involved in all the play and therefore pick up bonus points. So I was, it meant I moved almost immediately from the Leno Pickford double up that I was on before to just set and forget on him.
Do you think he's going to become a bit of a, a bit of a template, but is it a bit of a no-brainer to the point where it sort of takes the goalkeeper decision out of the equation? Or do you think there are others?
I think there are others. I think Ramsdale is one if Raya doesn't go. I think if Raya goes, it's very interesting.
Who's first choice if that happens?
Well, I don't know.
It's got to be Raya, isn't it? Got to be.
What? Okay, so if you're Raya...
You ain't going there to be sub, are you?
No.
No.
But then if you're Ramsdale, what do you make of that?
It's harsh on him because I think he's done quite done reasonably well.
So I don't really know. It's a weird one. But I think Ramsdale's definitely in the conversation. I think there are a few others. Like, I do genuinely think that there are some... I think Flecken is well out of the conversation, by the way.
Well, so interesting. So we watched, the Brentford versus Villa game. Again, in the summer series, was here on in the UK earlier. Bonkers first half an hour. It was like 3-2. I think Brentford went 2-0 up. And that was a shock to me for a start, based on what I've seen in Brentford pre-season. And then Villa came back into it and got like 3 goals in 10 minutes. And I was like, that's the Brentford I was expecting. And I have to say, there was a little bit of noise about, you know, Flecken being a cheap option in goal. I wouldn't go, honestly, guys, I wouldn't go there from what I've seen. I don't want to dig him out too much, but he feels like a massive downgrade on David Raya.
Well, to
that point, Brentford defensively feel like a bit of a no-go, don't they?
Well, yeah, absolutely. Because I think for me, the thing with Flecken is that in the future, I think there's potential there. Like, he's a good goalkeeper, but he's not a Premier League goalkeeper yet. Yeah. And that's been shown in the summer series when they're coming up against other Premier League sides with good attacking threat. And this, honestly, I feel like this season is going to be a lot of goals. So
Do you think that, just in the macro, should we just step back, take a step back a minute? I know that we're seeing a lot of goals in pre-season. Which we always do, right? Do you think genuinely this season in the Premier League, it's going to be more attack than defence? Do you think we're going to see more goals than clean sheets?
Certainly for the first 4 or 5 game weeks we will. Because that's what's always the case, isn't it? Always in the early part of the season, we don't have the defensive security that we see later on.
That's the thing, is it?
See more goals scored in the opening weeks and then it sort of peters down a little bit and then we see a bit more defensive security come in. And I think with Flecken and with... My concern for Brentford this season is they've lost their number one up top and they only lose their number one in goal. So you've got the guy that was always responsible for keeping your clean sheets disappearing.
Good goal, isn't he, Ray?
Fantastic. He's the one I wanted.
Yeah, he's top
But, you know, he's going to go. And then you've got your main man up top also missing. Now, I think you can sort of cover out Tony a bit because Viss has stood up in pre-season and actually looked all right.
Yeah.
So you've got some other assets up there that you could go to. But in defence, Brentford's defence has never been that solid. They've relied a lot on Raya. That's why it was so good with the save points last year. So if you take out the guy that was getting all the save points last year and replace him with somebody that's not got Premier League experience and is still young and is going to be having to settle in quite quickly as first choice, that's problematic.
Absolutely true. Absolutely true. Just a quick shout out again to Steve. Thank you, Steve, for the constant
super chat.
Stop
digging out Spurs again.
Steve, you super chatting left, right and centre, mate. If you want to become a member of the YouTube channel, it will cost you far less than your super chats are costing and you will get the ability to highlight your comments. Not that I'm ungrateful for the super chats because I absolutely am grateful, but join the channel, mate. It'd be very nice to have you along. Arsenal's defence ended the season poorly and in pre-season. Yeah. I've heard from Arsenal fans it hasn't improved, Sam. Triple Arsenal attack for Steve.
But the one thing I would say is that they lost Saliba for the last 11 weeks. And he
made a difference.
He was so brilliant for them. And I know...
Signed a new contract as well, isn't he? Which, if anything, again, shows you how important he is to the side.
Yeah, and I know it pains me a little bit to speak so highly of an Arsenal player, but I really like
him,
this guy.
You, yeah.
I really like
he's
him.
He's top.
Maybe I spent too much time with Jules because he is obviously one of his big fans. And I think we talk about him a lot on the pod, and I genuinely do think that had he been available for those last 11 games, he would have finished as Arsenal's highest scoring defender last season, and therefore would have been 5.5 in the game, like Ben White was this time around. I really, really think Saliba will make a massive difference to Arsenal defensively being back.
All right. And I guess while we're on Arsenal, we do need to move on from them because we've got so much to talk about. The man on the screen there, Julian Timbers, what are we saying? Does he make them better defensively or offensively? Or is he just one of them versatile squad players that's going to... I guess in pre-season, he's been doing pretty well, actually, while Zinchenko's been injured. So yeah. I've been reasonably impressed with him. Does he make them better defensively? Or is it Saliba that makes a difference? I think it probably is Saliba.
Yeah.
But going forward, I quite like him as well. So I wouldn't rule him out, but he's a bit of a wait and see for me. I don't know if I want to jump in on him early doors game week one.
No. But and also, you've got the Ben White factor as well. When Zinchenko, like, where's he going to play? Could it be, the versatility does make him a good FPL asset from that perspective because he has got multiple positions that Arteta could deploy him in.
Yes.
Which is always nice from FPL because then you're not worried about, you know, whereas with Ben White, you are actually worried about him as a rotation risk now. I think for me, with Gabriel and Saliba as options, I wouldn't be looking at Timbers just yet.
No.
I think going into the season, you know, when you get three or four or five game weeks in,
then that
might be an opportunity. And then, of course, there's Havertz too at Arsenal, who we should talk about, I guess, because somebody asked about Havertz, didn't they?
Absolutely. But welcome to the FPL Family YouTube channel, Mr. Steve Winyards. There he is. He's joined. Thank you, Steve, for joining us here on the FPL Family YouTube channel. Welcome along. Welcome along. There are more of you asking in the chat, how do I become a channel member? I think Nelson is asking. There's a few others as well. John Tyne is absolutely right. Yes, click join to be a channel member. So on YouTube, there should be a little button, a big red button that says subscribe. Hopefully all of you are subscribed by now. But next to it should be a little join button. If you click that, you'll get a few options. And then, yeah, come and join the family, just as Steve has. So thank you, Steve, for joining us here on FPL Family YouTube. Go on then. At the risk of this being an Arsenal stream, Havertz?
Not for me. Yet.
The thing with Arsenal midfield is there's so many options that he's probably my third or fourth choice.
Yeah, because... and so the
bit cheaper though, isn't it?
Yeah, so that's the positive about Havertz is that he is that bit cheaper and you can have him quite easily. But I think the reality is you're going to want to have Saka. And then for me, after Saka, it would be one of the defenders that I would want. So that means we're down to you'd want one. So then you're down to...
And Gabby Jesus is popular.
Well, this is the point I'm going to make, is that then you're down to one free Arsenal spot. So you've got Saka and Gabriel, or Saka and Saliba. You've got one free Arsenal spot. You've got Gabriel Jesus. You've got Martinelli. You've got Ødegaard. Trossard's in the mix. Havertz is in the mix.
Looking good in pre-season, Trossard.
Yeah, so you got...
And Havertz, to be fair.
Arguably, you've got five Arsenal players.
Yeah.
For one spot left in your team.
Mm.
So that's why for me Havertz isn't in the mix, because I also worry that where is he going to play?
Yes.
And that kind of frustrates me, and I just think you're better off to spend a little bit more on the likes of Martinelli or Jesus.
All right, let's move it on to another club from London. So Chelsea playing right now, probably about half time now. You guys in the chat can tell us how they're getting on in that game against Fulham for the in the summer series. Nkunku, Jackson, Pochettino putting his arm around Mudryk as well in midfield at 6.5. Mm. There are some options there. And I have to say, watching that first half before we come on here, like I said, I've Chilwell has been in and around my thoughts. I watched him in that game and thought, I want him back in my team. He's looking pretty fit. Sterling almost scored, coming in at 7 million. Listen, it's Liverpool on the first day, and we all know, well, I'll tell you my thoughts on Liverpool a bit later on, but here are my thoughts in a nutshell, is we'll score goals, but we will concede an absolute hatful as well.
So from that,
kicked the mic, well done. See if you can
Excellent.
So spoiler alert, yes, I think Liverpool will be leaky this season, potentially, but we'll score goals. So the Chelsea fixtures, even after the Liverpool game, look pretty good. In fact, I've got them here, Sam, since you asked. Here are the Chelsea
fixtures. What are the
Liverpool
fixtures like? Oh, no, Chelsea fixtures.
Liverpool, and then West Ham, Luton, Forest, Bournemouth, and then Aston Villa coming up. So third on the Fantasy Football Scout fixture difficulty rating ticker there. So yeah, if you want to go on an Nkunku early doors or a Jackson, who looks like a real natural finisher. When I saw him score that goal against Brighton a week or so ago, again in the summer series, he didn't even think twice. He just got it and side-footed it past Steele. I thought it was really, really good finish.
So I think there's multiple things to say about Chelsea. I think the summer series has actually been brilliant. I agree with what you said. Like, I think that...
It's been good for scouting in FPL, hasn't it?
100%, because it's actually been proper football as opposed to these kind of random, like, friendlies that kind of...
Premier League teams up against each other, you mean? Yeah, you want it, right?
Yeah,
that's what we want.
100%. Yeah. So I've really enjoyed it. And I think, for me, there's been a few that have stood out at Chelsea. Obviously, Chilwell's been, you know, playing well today. He's always been there or thereabouts on my radar because, as we all know, I'm not hugely comfortable having Reece James in my team for various reasons that we won't go into now.
Yeah, he's not been fit again injured. In pre-season, has but he? He's... Whereas Chilly looks all right. And he took the corner that Thiago Silva scored the first goal from.
Yeah.
You could bring in Chilly, and even if you want to bench him game week one. I mean, he absolutely could get attacking returns against us. Do I think we can score at Stamford Bridge? Yes, I do. But then if you're feeling a little bit like you've got your Man United, your Arsenal, you've got Estupinan, you've got plenty of options there maybe at the back for game week one, stick him on the bench and just know that you've got Chilwell coming in, a great asset for West Ham, Luton and Forest.
Yeah, I know, I agree. And I think, I think that there are options at Chelsea now. Like I've said multiple times on various different streams and videos and pods that I've done over the summer, like I've wanted to watch Chelsea a bit more carefully to understand exactly what Poch's Chelsea is going to be like. Yeah. Because I know how great a manager Poch is and how good attack-wise his teams can be. And it was just working out who was going to be the first choice at Chelsea. Now, I've been really impressed by both Nkunku and Jackson. I think both of them have been excellent.
Good understanding, haven't they, already?
They have. And very good. So what appeals to me about Jackson is he is that out-and-out striker that Chelsea have really lacked for the last couple of
seasons.
He's
the nine, isn't he?
Yeah, he's really shone in those positions. He's clever, he's quick, he's in the right positions. He's in a position that basically Chelsea didn't have anyone in last time around. And then I've been impressed with Nkunku as well because he's either played in just behind Jackson and the rapport, like you say, has been really good, quickly good as well. So they've just started playing together and that's been impressive.
He's the 10, but he gets beyond quite a lot, I've noticed Nkunku. So he does, he's a bit of a 10 plus, if that's a thing.
Yeah.
Probably not. But,
and when Jackson
just made
has
that
gone
position
off, Poch put Nkunku up into that number 9.
Yeah.
So he can play in the number 9 spot and has scored from there. So I've been impressed with both of them. Both of them offering really nice value for money in that kind of 7.5 bracket up top. So I'm really impressed by both of them. It's the Chelsea midfielders that I've kind of been wanting somebody to stand out.
Yeah.
Now, Mudryk scored that incredible goal a few
what
weeks.
What a goal that was, by the way. Oh, what
and
a strike.
When
confident.
That first went in, I was like, this is interesting. Because this is a player that...
6'5 in FPL as a midfielder.
Yeah. This is a player we didn't have any confidence from last time around and, you know, wasn't scoring. And there does genuinely seem to have been a bit of a Poch, come here, let me put my arm around you.
Oh, he's great at that.
And,
you know,
and that's where his skill set is, right?
Yeah.
That's where his skill set has always been. So Mudryk, Sterling, I'm still not 100% on the Chelsea midfielders in terms of who is it that's the one.
And that, I think, is the point, isn't it? Is that you probably can. And those of so if you want to go in on Chelsea game week one, and I'm seeing Cyberdet saying he's going triple Chelsea, as he mentioned to us on Friday. Don't mind it at all. Don't want to put anybody off of going in Nkunku or a Jackson or a Mudryk. Go for it. I think they're great picks. But if you are the sort of FPL manager that just likes to see how it's going to go, then you can not go into Chelsea, Liverpool and West Ham. And then in game week 3, you act based on what you've seen against Liverpool and West Ham because you've got Luton and Forest and then Bournemouth, right? I mean, for that 3, and that is why I'm more and more tempted to go for Chilwell from the off, because I think Chilwell's going to do well in those first 2. And I don't want to be going into 3 thinking, well, I've got to get him and I've got to get an Nkunku and I've got to get a Mudryk. I don't want 2 of my transfers, even 3 weeks into the season, to be for Chelsea players. I'm probably, the more I think about it, it makes sense to have Chilwell there, bench him if I really feel like I want to bench him against Liverpool, probably play him against West Ham and just know that he's there ready and waiting to come off the bench for Luton and Forest and Bournemouth. Without a doubt. Just a quick shout out before we move on, Sam, to Mr. Mithlesh Powell. Hello, Mithlesh. Welcome to FPL Family YouTube. Another new member here on the channel.
Oh, thanks
so
for joining us.
Welcome, Mithlesh. If you want to get in the chat, you want to highlight your comments, get your questions in. Now that you're a member, you are absolutely able to do that, along with Mr. Steve Winyard, who joined us earlier, and Cyberdare, and all the others that are already members here on the FPL Family YouTube channel. So Mithlesh, welcome and thank you for joining us. Thank you for joining us. Lots to discuss at Chelsea. Is there anything else you want to say about Chelsea before we move on? Because I feel like we could talk a lot about them. There's lots to discuss.
I know, but I did hear a rumour also that Chelsea were going to go in for Raya. Now, if that happens,
okay,
then I think that that would make the defence even better an option. If you've got Raya in behind Chile, I think that makes him really great.
Yeah. The one thing I will say about Chelsea is, a bit like a lot of clubs that I'm sure we're going to talk about this evening, I think they're going to be, and this is why I asked you the question before about the sort of more macro, do we think there's going to be more goals than clean sheets? I personally think the answer to that is yes, at least in the short term. Because I'm not sure who plays in that kind of CDM role for Chelsea and does a really good job at it. I can just see the back four being a bit exposed. I can see Thiago Silva being a bit old. I know they're in for this new guy again, aren't they? They're moving quickly on this another new signing. Badia Shields looked all right in pre-season. So they have got the personnel there. But and a bit like us and a bit like you and a bit like a few other clubs, who's the CDM? What? You haven't got a CDM. Who's your CDM?
We've got all sorts of problems. So let's not just...
Defensively, Spurs. I'll tell you what, there's going to be... I will predict in the first 5 game weeks, there'll be a handful of games where they're like, it's 4-3, 5-2, 6-1.
When do we play each other? That's not long into the season.
There'll be some
Spurs
games.
Liverpool would be stupid.
And the thing about FPL is that those are the games where you want the... Like, there will be, I'm sure of it, first 5 weeks, there'll be 3, 4, 5, 6 games where someone goes big. And it'll be teams where there's FPL assets and there'll be big swings. And I predict that over the first 5 game weeks, we won't quite have the... Do you remember at the beginning of last season? It really stayed bunched up for a long time and people played the wild card at the same sort of time. And it really... there was kind of...
I don't remember that. It was at 1.7 million.
Yeah, but again, to that point, it was not easy. But you could make big jumps later on into the season.
Yeah.
I think first 5 game weeks for this season, it's going to be really important to make a good start. Because I think there's going to be goals everywhere and big FPL swings everywhere. I don't know. That's just a thought, right? I'm freestyling a little bit. Where else do you want to go? Let's talk about my club then. So Szoboszlai and McAllister coming in, which is great because we need as many reinforcements as possible.
I don't think either of them are FPL assets, though. Have I been really unfair on that?
No, go on. Go on. I think you're probably right in the short term. It could be longer term. But what's your thinking behind Liverpool as a team?
I just think that they will... Oh, I've got lots of thoughts about Liverpool as a team. I've got lots of thoughts. I mean, you've got a captain at the moment, so you've got to have one of them.
Virgil's a captain, we know this.
He's not been announced yet.
He's a captain.
So I think with McAllister and Szoboszlai, they're going to play in those deeper roles, aren't they? Which is where we didn't like McAllister at Brighton. No, I rephrase that. It's why we didn't like McAllister at Brighton from an FPL perspective.
Define deeper, though, because he's not going to be CDM, is he?
Well, no, he's not going to be CDM, but he's going to sit back a bit more in the way that he did at Brighton at times. And then and then when De Zerbi arrived in the second part of the season after the World Cup, he sort of allowed McAllister to go forward into that kind of number 10 role a bit more. And then he was really great for a while.
Mm.
My concern at Liverpool with him is that you've got, I mean, who is it going to be up top for you? But you're going to have a front three of...
Salah, Nunes and someone left.
Jota or Diaz. Luis Diaz. So they're going to be your three main attacking players. Now, I'm not saying that McAllister and Szoboszlai can't get some attacking returns and won't go. A bit like Bentancur when he's fit at Spurs. You might get some attacking returns out of him, and that's why they're cheaper.
Neither of those players is anything like Bentancur. Bentancur is more of a Bacetic. He's much more of a Fabinho sort of player, and he's brilliant at it.
Yeah, but my point is that he's the cheaper of the midfield options at Spurs, like Højbjerg or Skip. And so with these guys, you've got the cheaper options. Now, you can invest in them, but I don't think that they'll bring you the FPL returns that you want. And my fear is if you do go with someone like McAllister and Liverpool do what we think that they might do, which is score a lot of goals this season, and he's maybe not getting as many of them, that it blocks that spot that you might want to use to invest in. You know, if we do get a front three that is Jota and Darwin and Salah, and you want Trent, so let's just assume you've taken one spot with Trent, and you could have Jota and Darwin at the price points that they're at, or Luis Diaz and Darwin at the price points they're at.
Yeah.
That is far more attractive to me than having McAllister. I think that's the point I'm trying to make.
Yeah, I think you're right. I don't disagree with you. I disagree with you a little bit in terms of how deep they're going to play. If anything, I can see them playing a bit wider. I can see them covering for Salah on the right and McAllister covering for Diaz on the left. And that's why I think Diaz is being a little bit overlooked potentially. But it's for good reason, because it's him, it's Jota, it's who's going to play left, right? Mm. So I can understand why in FPL we're all going, well, I might just wait on that then. And I would advise doing that. But if someone can lock down that left-hand side, I think McAllister is... I think he'll play on the left of the centre, I think. And all of a sudden, you've got a player that can... that can cover, right? That can go and do those intelligent covering runs so that a Diaz or a Jota can burst into the box knowing full well that it's okay. Because if I make a mistake here, if I lose the ball, if I take a risk and lose the ball, McAllister will cover for me. And I think Szoboszlai will do the same.
But don't you think they're more likely to be the assister of the assist?
Yeah. They will take... I think from what I've seen, admittedly only really on YouTube, Szoboszlai likes a bit of a long shot.
Yeah.
He's pretty good in terms of his accuracy from distance. But Mac is going to be a bit like a Modric sort of player. I hope he's like a Modric sort of player. Yeah, potentially. Yeah. We'll have a broader Liverpool discussion in a bit when we talk about our teams. But those are the new boys. Where else? Are there new boys in the Premier League that you're interested in? Anybody catching your eye?
Well, you've got Mount on there. So I suppose we should have a quick word about him. I mean, I think it's interesting because for me, when he went there, I was like, oh, okay, a 7 million midfielder at Manchester United and an attacking one could be interesting. But having watched Manchester United with when he's been playing, I haven't been that inspired from an FPL perspective. Like, I think he's good and I think he makes Manchester United a better team.
Yeah.
But I don't think from an FPL perspective he... even the price tag displaces Bruno or Rashford, in my view.
No. Where do you how do you expect them to set up then, United? So assume that Hoyland is going to happen. Be interesting to see his price and what he comes in at in FPL. But if he's going to play there, and from what I've seen of him, and again, he's a new boy, so we can talk about him in this section. It sounds like it's pretty much a done deal. A little bit. I saw somebody on Twitter call him Haaland 2.0, which is a big statement.
Yeah, it's a lot of pressure.
A lot of pressure for him. Feels quite raw.
Yeah.
But feels like he's got the pace to go alongside the power. So if he was coming into United a couple of seasons ago, I'd say, well, under Solskjaer, maybe he's not the right player. But coming in under a coach like Ten Hag, I think is absolutely the right thing. And you can see why Ten Hag might want him. Mm. I do still think that Rashford will get minutes through the middle. That will still happen. But do you expect Rashford to be a bit more kind of left and a bit more...
Yeah.
Obviously not in as central positions if Hoyland's going to be there, right?
Yeah, but that doesn't turn me off Rashford.
No, he's because still going to be relied upon for goals, right?
Yeah, he's still a great asset even if he's out on the left.
But does it make you now... Because we'll talk about drafts in a minute, but I was Rashford all day.
Oh, so
then they
signed
this guy and now I'm not quite so much. Okay. And I'm thinking, could I save the 0.5 and have Bruno instead? And I'm liking that a bit more.
So I haven't had Rashford in a draft yet. Mm. I've had Bruno the whole way through.
Yeah.
Because of the set pieces mostly, but also because of the 0.5, because the 0.5 goes quite a long way, obviously, in the opening weeks of the season. I think it depends, doesn't it, on how much they price Hoyland at. If he comes in at 7.5, which is where they seem to have priced a lot of the new boys up front this year, the likes of Nkunku and obviously Darwin, I know he's not new, but he's in that price point as well. If they put him around that figure, that
sense for him to be around 7.5. I mean, that would tempt people then, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I think if he's 8, it puts him in competition with Ollie Watkins. And I don't think a lot of people are looking at that bracket because they're trying to save the 0.5.
Yeah.
So it makes it for a bit more of an interesting conversation, I think, if you've got the Liverpool, the Chelsea and the Manchester United forward all sitting at that level.
Guys in the chat, by the way, absolutely right, saying that actually they prefer Rashford on the left anyway. Yeah, don't disagree with you, by the way.
Yeah,
and I think he prefers to play there as well, right?
Yeah, and that's the thing. So having a number 9 doesn't put me off Rashford in any way because I think it makes Rashford a better option, if anything. I think it makes Bruno a better option as well. So having a number 9 there, and by the way, this is exactly the sort of number 9 I think they should be getting. When they were linked with Kane, I was like, well, I get it because he's a Premier League striker, but I think you want a nice young... Like they're doing.
Yeah.
One for the future as well as now. So I think he could be a nice option. I'm intrigued. Once the deal is finalised and official and announced, and then FPL add into the game, it'll be fascinating to see what they price him as. Because if he comes in at 7.5, then maybe that does change the conversation about how you invest in United. Because you could have their striker and save a million on Bruno.
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely one to watch. Definitely one to watch. Just to quickly run through a couple of other new players, because there's plenty of new players we haven't discussed. The new boy, Aston Villa, whose name I'm forgetting all of a sudden. Diaby. What we said about him, scored again today against Brentford in the summer series. Looks good. Seems to have settled in.
6.5.
Under Unai Emery in that system, I think has got potential, don't you?
Okay. I think he is the best Aston Villa option.
Yeah, don't disagree with you.
By a long way.
Don't disagree with you. I really like him in that. And there's some great options in that 6-5 bracket. Don't get me wrong, because you've got the Mbeumos and the Mitomas. He's like in the conversation, no doubt.
I like him significantly more than both of those two.
Do you? Significantly? Yeah. Oh, I don't know if I'd say significantly.
Mbeumo,
I've like
gone right off, because Brentford...
Scored a pen, didn't he?
Yeah, but that's what you're relying on. He's not playing up top. He's playing Vissa or... I wanted to say Shah, but that's not right. That's
Sharder,
isn't
it? Sharder.
He's playing one of them up top. He's not playing Mbeumo.
Still a good asset in FPL, Mbeumo. Still going to be highly picked.
Highly picked? I think he'll disappoint.
Okay.
I think he'll be the player that disappoints most.
Interesting
in
shout.
The
All right.
Current template.
All right, big shout. Michael Scott in the chat is saying Jao Pedro as well from Brighton, a 5.5 forward in the game. Brighton's record signing as well. So you'd expect, I think, him to get some game time. Can play up top, but, I should probably say and. And we haven't seen Evan Ferguson really much in pre-season.
And if Ferguson has played, they've played together for most of the time.
True enough, because Pedro's got the versatility to play either in the 10 or left.
Yeah. Or up top together. They've played up top together.
Can happen. Takes a penalty.
They don't have a standout penalty taker now. McAllister's left. I know that March can take them. I have only had one draft this summer that hasn't had Jao Pedro in it. And that was because
you're keen on him,
Kane. Then.
Okay.
For me, he's... Because I now don't think I'm going to have to find Kane.
Yeah.
He is locked. I think he is honestly...
To go with a Brighton midfielder?
No.
Or instead of a Brighton midfielder? So you're thinking, well, we'll get to drafts, but no Mitoma, go Jao Pedro instead?
Yeah, because I'd have Diaby over Mitoma all day long.
Okay. I think Mitoma's been looking all right in pre-season as well. The one thing I will say about Mitoma, and Mark said it on Black Box earlier in the week, which is a great comment, I thought, from Az. He was talking about Mitoma being a little bit of a one-trick pony, a little bit of a cut inside and shoot and cut inside, and it's a bit like... At first you don't know what he's going to do because he's an unknown quantity, but is he a bit of a known quantity now?
Well, the last 10 game weeks of the season would suggest that the other teams learnt how to play against
him. Yeah, I wonder if we're doing him a bit of a disservice there, potentially.
When we wanted him to be good in FPL last year, when we had him for all those doubles, he wasn't.
Yeah, I can see a few people. Steve is saying, not going to go with Mitoma. Oliver, no FPL. Yes, I agree with you, Sam. Diaby better than Mitoma. So a little bit of... The Mitoma love is just cooling a little bit after him coming in at 6-5. He was one of those... Remember when FPL launched, he was one of those first names out the hat, wasn't he, that got launched, I think, with you and Kelly on the show. And everyone was like, got to go Mitoma, 6-5, what a great price. And then I think people have seen what everyone else's prices are, equally good, I think is the answer to that. And now they're cooling a little bit on
he's
Mitoma.
He's not been in a single draft of mine yet.
Potentially. Any others that you want to discuss? Any other new boys that we want to talk about?
I mean, we haven't spoken about Maddison, but let's talk about him when we talk about our drafts.
Cool. All right. Well, before we do that, Sam, let's just give a quick shout out to our friends at Fantasy Football Scout. So you guys will know this is definitely a hashtag ad because we work very closely with the guys and girls at Fantasy Football Scout. If you've not signed the guys and the girl, the one, just Sam, right? So it's you and Ed and a few others that work there now, isn't it? So Fantasy Football Scout going great guns ahead of the new season. So if you're not signed up to Fantasy Football Scout yet, definitely go and check them out. All the links are in the description below. We have an affiliate link just for full openness. This is an affiliate link, the bit.ly one there, /FPL Family 1. You can go and sign up and become a member over there on the Fantasy Football Scout website. We use all of their stuff in terms of our live streams on a Sunday. We'll use the fixture difficulty ratings. We'll use the members area, which gives us all the stats for a Sunday night. So if you want to take your fantasy football-ness to the next level, that is the place to go and do it. Fantasyfootballscout.co.uk. Get over there and sign up ahead of the new season. All right, Sam, let's talk about your updated draft for Game Week 1. So here is your team as it stands. Talk me through and give a plug if you want to.
I do.
To Plan FPL as well, because this is a... is this a new tour? I don't know that much about it. Tell me about Plan
FPL.
Have you not used Plan FPL before? I haven't really. No, I haven't.
Where have you been?
Where have I been? Because I'm noticing all the content creators using it. So I'm like, should we be using this? Shouldn't I? So go on then,
yeah.
Plan FPL.
So my good friend, Reese, who I work with at Scout, he created Plan FPL. It's not new for this season. It was going last year. It is honestly one of those things that I used a bit last season, but not quite to the level that I have in this pre-season. If you sign up as a member, it's completely free to sign up as a member on Plan FPL. It allows you to create 5 draft teams, so you can flick between them. And it obviously has loads of different things you can do. So you can turn off the fixtures if you don't want to look at fixtures, if you find that that's difficult.
There's quite a lot of information here the screen.
Yeah.
But the bits at the bottom, so you've got like Mudrick, for example, 6-5. I'm going to ask you what those numbers are in the middle in a minute. But then I've got Liverpool, West Ham, Luton. I've got the next 3 fixtures there as well. So that's useful.
Yes, that's really useful. But if you don't want the fixtures there, you can turn them off. Because sometimes you don't want to pay attention to the fixtures. If you're looking at purple patch players or what have you, I don't know. You can also turn off the prices, because that's one of the other things that I find is that I sometimes overspend. Like, I've got 12 million. Who can I afford? And of course, it's everybody. But sometimes you think, well, actually, it's better if I don't know how much players are, because I don't necessarily want to be influenced by the price. You can change
fair
that.
Fair play.
The numbers that you were talking about in the middle, if you are both a Plan FPL member and a Fantasy Football Scout member, you can link your 2 accounts together and it pulls the predicted points data from Scout members area.
Hey, you know what?
And feeds it into Plan FPL.
No FPL, Oliver in the chat is saying, yes, Sam, I've linked my Fantasy Football Scout account with Plan FPL. That's the thing, is it?
Yeah, so if you link the 2 of them together, then you can see the predicted points for those players by game week. This one is displaying the first 3 game weeks of the season.
Oh, so that's what those numbers are. And this is great for the podcasters, by the way. Thanks, podcasters, for sticking with us. The small numbers underneath sort of Mudrick there. So what's he got? I can just about read 3.2 for Liverpool, 3.1 West Ham, and 4 for Luton.
Mm-hmm.
That's his predicted points according to the Plan FPL algorithms. The Scout members area.
That's the Rate My Team stuff.
Okay, makes sense.
And then at the top, you can see that it tells you that my team is currently at 82%. So it's expecting it to do quite well.
Okay.
Based upon that. Now, obviously, it is slightly skewed at the moment because the new players to the league are predicted to get naught. Because
makes sense, yeah, you know. Yeah.
So obviously, any new boys in the league, that's a little bit affected by. But genuinely, it's been great because what I've been able to do, and as a content creator, when I've been planning for podcasts and things, because Kelly, of course, always asks me, what are your thoughts at the minute? So I always have multiple drafts that I'm, rather than having to keep going into the app, taking a picture of it, not saving it, moving forward, this has been a really, really great tool. And of course, during the course of the season, when you're wildcarding and things like that, you'll be able to do the same.
All right. So where can I find it? PlanFPL.com.
PlanFPL.com. And if you are a Scout member, link them 2 together and it gives you all of this extra stuff
very
as well,
nice
which is brilliant.
Too. Very nice too.
But
so
it is free. PlanFPL is free.
New tech ahead of the new season, which I shall be checking out myself. But from a draft perspective.
So let's talk about my draft.
We've got the watch list there on the right-hand side. So obviously, those are the players that are still on your watch list, still keeping an eye on pre-season. But some interesting differentials in there, Sam. I would like to talk about the likes of Bowen and Mudrick. And, of course, we do need to have a conversation about Darwin as well.
So I've tried with this team to, as best I can, not go really, really rogue. Because I don't want to be in a position where the template, the X template, suddenly goes mental and I've not invested. So this is the first draft where I've had a Stupinian in. And if you remember back to our last live stream, I was very keen not to have a Stupinian. And I still don't really like the Estupiñán pick, but as the most popular defender in the game, it feels a bit, with the opening 3 fixtures that Brighton have got, I feel like if I don't have him and Brighton keep a clean sheet in that period, the damage that's going to do.
It's a bit annoying, isn't it? Because if he gets a clean sheet and you look at them fixtures and he'll keep a clean sheet, if he gets a clean sheet and assist and a 10-pointer, it's like, you're going to really miss out on that.
Yeah.
And it's going to really hurt you because he's very highly owned, isn't he?
Yeah.
From last sight look.
The highest owned defender in the game. Yeah. So that's why I've brought him in. So currently...
Steve's just in. That looks fairly rogue, Sam.
So do you think it is?
82%. That's the algorithms don't say it's that rogue.
Okay. So Onana in... for the podcasters, Onana in goal with... he's going to be my set and forget. Yeah. So I've gone with Aurelia at the back for West Ham, just in case. And then a back line of Trent, Estupiñán and Saliba.
Yeah.
And then on the bench, I've got the new... I've switched out Bell and gone for the new...
It's a Kabore.
It's a Kabore.
The one.
Yeah.
He's the one, isn't he?
Well,
that's what I'm told by the content creators.
Playing at wing back.
I know nothing about him. And then I'm listening to all the content creators. They're like, don't get Bell, get Kabore. I'm like, all right.
Yeah, but he's got a bit more attacking threat.
Yeah.
So we got him in.
Just getting spoon-fed some good picks there by the content creator community.
And then I'm still on Bayer at the minute. So that's the back five. Yeah. I would really prefer Estupiñán to be Chilwell. And that's where I was up until...
So Trent, Estupiñán, Saliba, Kabore, Bayer. 2 4.0s in there. Okay.
Midfield. And then a midfield five of Saka, Bruno... Madison.
Yes.
Bowen, Mudryk.
Saka, Bruno, Madison, Bowen, Mudryk. Well, I think the first two are reasonably self-explanatory.
I think, Madison,
Bowen and Mudryk. Talk us through it.
Madison is fairly self-explanatory as well. I want a Spurs player for Postecoglou ball, which I think is going to be very good.
And ball, surely.
No,
come on.
Postecoglou ball. Which I think is going to be good going forward. If Kane leaves, he will 100% be Richarlison.
You're going to save the 0.5. Madison becomes Richarlison, and then you've got the Brazilian.
And then I've got my 0.5 for my Chelsea defender. Bowen, I was really impressed by in pre-season. Now, that spot is definitely open for negotiation. He could easily be Diaby because I really like him.
Yeah.
And there are other potential options in that midfield position that I really like as well. So that spot is definitely not... locked in yet.
Yeah.
Nor is the Madrid one. I want a Chelsea player because whilst I don't particularly like Liverpool game in game week one, I do know that I'm going to want to invest in Chelsea because this is Pochettino's Chelsea. They're going to be good. They've got really nice fixtures.
Look good in pre-season,
They've looked good in pre-season. They're probably going to win the summer series, aren't they? So
feels like it.
You're going to have a situation, I think, where you're going to want to invest in Chelsea. I don't want to be panicking about who my Chelsea assets are going to be. I don't want to be kind of getting through game week one and then, you know, rolling my transfer into game week two and then having to, like you said earlier, make multiple changes for Chelsea players.
I think you want one in game week one, don't you? Because that game week three and four and five is so good.
Yeah.
With sort of Luton and Forest at home and Bournemouth, I think it is, isn't it? To get to game week three and need to make two transfers to get a couple of Chelsea players in, I don't like that.
No.
But having said that, why not have Chilwell then? Because so, Chilwell is going to be there, he's going to be there. Well, whereas the midfield, you get a couple of weeks to look at them.
Yeah, so I did have that. And then I panicked on Estupiñán.
Right, so the FOMO from Estupiñán kicked in.
Yeah, so that was how my team was originally set up, with Chilwell instead of Estupiñán.
Yeah.
And instead of Mudryk, I think I had DRB, I think?
Yeah.
Can't remember. No, because he's the same price. Can't remember how I did it. Maybe it was Bowen that was... I can't remember.
Right.
But anyway, I had Chilwell in it. And then the Estupiñán factor kicked in. And anyway, the rest is history. So those last two midfielder spots are definitely not locked. The Bowen-Mudryk positions are fully
up for grabs. Yes.
The Madison pick is locked if Kane stays. I'll go Madison. If Kane leaves, which I think he will now, it'll be Richarlison all day long. Then a front three, which has not changed... of Haaland, Darwin, and Jao Pedro.
You were Darwin before he was cool, to be fair to you, weren't you?
Yeah,
and Jao Pedro.
For about a year now, I've been on Darwin's.
Hurt you. Let's not be around the bush.
Look, Darwin is like the ex-boyfriend that keeps coming back to hurt you and you keep taking him back, keep forgiving him, because he says he's changed.
And he's back in your team again.
And he comes and he does the little heart at me and I go, all right, come back. I'll give you one more chance. And then he fails me. And then he comes back and hearts at me.
You know, there's a big problem with this Darwin pick if Mbappe comes to Liverpool, which is happening, by the way. We're getting Mbappe.
If Mbappe goes anywhere in the Premier League, we've all got to start again anyway. Because the price is like 15 million.
Yeah, correct.
So then we've got to find a way to have Haaland and Mbappe up top together. So we're all screwed if that happens anyway.
But talk to me.
About who?
Talk to me.
About
Darwin Nunez, because we sat here a couple of weeks ago and I was just starting to get the feels. I remember I said narrative about a million times. I watched it back. I said narrative and vibes a million times. And I've been
feels.
Over on Twitter X.
Thought you only had the feels about me, darling.
I've got you and Darwin. Darwin's giving me the feels. And I was talking narrative. I was talking vibes. And now those narratives and vibes are turning into a bit of pre-season form. The guy looks like he is on it. Now, without going over old ground that I was talking about 2 weeks ago when we did a live stream last, he's got the number 9 shirt. We've got the whole... And go back... There's a reason to go back and watch the video from 2 weeks ago. My Darwin narrative, right? The Liverpool YouTube is focusing on him a lot. They're focusing on the fact that he's learning English, something that Klopp said he needed to do. So this is Liverpool YouTube saying to the fans, look, He's really changing. He's really making an effort. He himself has come out and talked about second season is big for him. He mm-hmm. knows this. It was the case at Benfica. Second season, he was ace. First season, he was crap.
Yeah, one player of the league.
All of the narrative is leading down this Nunes road. And I hear what all you guys are saying, right? Everyone in the chat is now going to go, he's not nailed. Because you've got Gakpo. You've got Jota.
Yeah.
You've got whatever, right? They're all there. I get it. I absolutely think this is Nunes' time. I'm absolutely convinced that he's going to start the season well and he's going to get 25 goals this season.
Yeah.
Red goggles on, the shirt's on. I'm so biased it's untrue. But I think Darwin is going to come of age.
I don't have any red goggles. I have my I Love Spurs sunglasses, which are over there.
Go on then. As a
non-biased...
Take all the bias away from me.
I genuinely... So I have spent a lot of time... aside from Lee, because he's not here half the time, talking and watching Liverpool. I've watched a lot of highlights. Yeah.
We're an interesting team from an FPL perspective.
You are.
We really are.
Because I've been trying to decide how to invest in Liverpool, because Salah's really hard. He's really, really hard to own without messing everything up.
Yes.
So then I want Trent. I think I still want Trent. Even though I don't think the clean sheets are there, I think I still want to go with Trent. So it does make it difficult. I mean, the easier thing to do, actually, is to take Trent out for Chilwell and then invest somebody up in the midfield. But that's another question.
Yeah.
But Darwin is the player that keeps... I just can't put him down. Mm. Because everything you watch is about how brilliant he is. All of his story stuff, the things that Klopp is saying, the imagery that Liverpool keeps sticking out on their Instagram... Everything points to Darwin Nunes. And then I spent a long time for the first pod researching Darwin's second season stuff. And he was brilliant in his second season. He was the player of the league. He was Golden Boot. I think Darwin Nunes will be up. Leave Haaland out. And leave Mbappe out.
Yeah.
I think Darwin will be the next highest scoring player in the league this year.
Oh, we're going to do pre-season predictions in a couple of weeks before we kick off the season. So that will be very interesting.
I think if Kane stays, Darwin outscores Kane this year.
Wow. Yeah. All right. Listen, I saw his... And I know it's pre-season. I know it's Leicester City. I know. So come at me in the comments. I've got no problem with it at all. And I've had people on X, on Twitter, telling me, you know, shut up, what are you talking about? So Liverpool bias. And I understand all of that, right? Understand it all. But the narrative is absolutely there. I totally agree with you. And his heat maps against Leicester, he's in that box. See the goal he scored, right?
No, did you?
Jota gets the ball. Lovely pass from McAllister. Jota shoots it across the keeper. Keeper should do better. He's there.
Yeah.
He's pouncing.
Yeah.
That's where we want him in FPL.
Yeah.
In that box.
Yeah.
And I think in the system that we've got with McAllister and Szoboszlai there now, he is going to be in that box all the time.
I also think that last season, the relationship with Salah didn't exist.
Yeah.
The two of them didn't... They weren't gelling in the way that... And I think that was in part because Salah had lost his two main buddies in Mane and Firmino, because Firmino was injured for a lot of it. And he was learning to play with a player that didn't speak English. And so the connection and the communication wasn't there. What we've seen in these pre-season fixtures, and I know that you've been playing against second division German sides and Leicester City.
Yeah. All those caveats apply, right? Yeah.
I get that, but that's pre-season for you.
Mm.
But the relationship between Salah and Darwin coexists now.
Yeah.
They're assisting each other.
If we just signed him 2 months ago.
No.
If we'd signed him 6 weeks ago, just before McAllister, we'd all be going, who's this 7.5? Number nine for Liverpool, who they've just signed, who's scoring 4 goals in pre-season and assist. Who's this guy?
Yeah.
Got to get him. But because we've all got this Nunes bit in our head from last season, but I just think he's going to be different. I just think he's going to be different.
I'm with you.
Who else from your watch list are you considering highly?
Okay, so there are a couple in there. Diaby is definitely there. He's definitely the one. Nkunku I really like, but I don't know how I'd get him in because the front three
You don't have Nunes, do you, if you have Nkunku?
And
probably.
I don't really want to do that. Yeah. Manchester City is a problem here because at the moment I've only got Haaland. So I've looked at Stones, but again, how do I do it? Because it's freeing up some money from elsewhere.
Yeah.
So, and I prefer Chilwell over Stones or Ake in that position.
Okay, yeah. As your 5.5?
As my 5.5, yeah. So then I'm looking at how else I do it. And Foden is... I sort of like the Foden pick. I have gone off of it a lot lately.
Would you go for...
Because I like the Alvarez pick more.
So what about Foden and... So say Kane goes, Foden and Richarlison rather than Madison and Bowen?
Yeah, so if Richarlison goes, then I think... If Kane goes, Richarlison and Foden will probably be those midfield two.
Yeah.
But okay. Do you know what, then? It feels really boring because as soon as Kane signs that contract, the world and its wife's going to bring Richarlison in FPL. And
feels like it, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then that will enable everyone to go, oh, I phoned as well then.
It does. It does. But listen, this is what happens early on in the season. I personally prefer to play the game, and I know there'll be plenty of you out there that play it very differently to this, including Si, who I know is thinking a bit more radically than I do. I am a boring FPL player for the first 5 or 6 weeks. And I know you're not, but I like to follow largely the template for the first few weeks because I don't want to take those risks early on. I will take the risks in game week 30 to 38.
Yeah. But
when I've got chips and stuff.
So what I've tried to do with my team is have the template key picks.
Yeah.
And then take some fun risks based upon what's happened in pre-season.
Bowen and Mudryk and João Pedro, definitely fun risks. Let's have a look at my team then. So the difference, one of the key differences between you and me is that I'm going currently with some money in the bank. I'm going with 1.5 million in the bank. Just because, again, I think there's a lot of options in that midfield that we're unsure of. We don't know which Chelsea midfielder to go to. Noah Stupinan at the moment, obviously he's on the watch list, and I've gone a little bit rogue with Pedro Porro there.
A little bit rogue.
My bench is obviously needs some work, but again, it's a bench, right? Baldock is going to get minutes and play. Cabore is going to get minutes and play. McAtee is obviously my burner slot. With my 1.5 million in the bank, McAtee could be João Pedro, because I do like João Pedro. From your perspective, I like that. And then the extra 0.5 could be Chilwell rather than Pedro Porro.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm thinking. But then I go into the season without any money in the bank, which is not the end of the world, right? But I like to have a little bit to play with.
I do think having 0.5 in the bank is quite a good strategy.
Yeah, yeah. But here's my team for the podcasters then. So not dissimilar to yours in terms of a core. So Onana in goal, Trent, Pedro Porro and Gabriel at the back. And then I've got Cabore and Baldock as my subs. Both 4.0. Then I've got Saka, Bruno, same as you. Then I have gone for Foden, Mbeumo and Diaby in midfield. So I'm covering off those price points, right? So Saka and Bruno at 8.5, Foden at 7.5, Diaby and Mbeumo at 6.5. So I've got a nice spread where I can move some players around in different price points. Like you, I am absolutely fully on board with Darwin. So I've got Haaland and Darwin up front with McAtee as my burner slot on my third sub and then Areola as the second goalkeeper. So, like you, I've got that sort of core, that kind of Onana, Trent, Saka, Bruno, Arsenal 5.0 defender, Haaland core. And then I've got some fun around the outside. I would say that this is less fun than yours. I like the Porro. I like my Porro. I like your Pedro. I like your Mudryk, your Bowen. There's some differentials there. My Mbeumo isn't really a differential. I don't think that Diaby is going to be that much of a differential come game week one, because I think he's going to be a popular pick. Yeah. So where is my fun here? Well, it's Pedro Porro, which really should be a Stupinan if I'm going to be playing it safe, which I like to do at the beginning of seasons. Or I spend $500,000 from my bank on a Chelsea defender. Well, it'd be Chilwell. Let's say Chelsea defender. Let's say Chilwell. But there it is. If I go for that and I have Chilwell game week one starting, and I don't mind starting him against Liverpool, but it's possible that actually Baldock maybe starts and I bench Chilwell. That sounds stupid, doesn't it? I'm not going to do that. And I've said it out loud. I'm going to be starting Chilwell against Liverpool. So Chilwell against Darwin game week one. Don't really like that. So listen, this is still work in progress. Obviously, Estupinan is there on my watch list as somebody that I am a bit scared of not having. Same as you, got the FOMO, and I know that you've put him in. I really not sure that I want to, but
I don't want to.
He'd get a clean sheet and assist, and then you're fuming, aren't you?
Just
you're
remember, absolutely fuming. Just remember that day when he got 18 points.
Yeah, against Arsenal, wasn't it?
Just remember
savage,
that day.
That was savage. Ruined my season.
And then look at the ownership.
Yeah.
And then put him in.
That's the problem, isn't it?
Because that's the problem. And what you said before makes absolute sense. Because in the beginning of the season, you do have to be mindful of that. Because it is obviously it's close because everyone starts on zero.
Yeah.
So you have to just be careful to cover out the ones that can hurt you the most.
Yeah.
And then use your differentials wisely.
FPL Bruno is in the chat saying, Lee, you're going to crumble under the template. You'll go bulldog to Chilwell. You probably, mate, you're absolutely right. I will almost certainly do that. Adam Stevo saying, Lee, given all the Chile hype and then he's not in your draft. Yeah, but I'm hyping him up based on what I saw about 5 minutes before coming in.
And you've done this afternoon.
And I've done that this afternoon in my defence. But you're right, I've given him the big one and I'm not putting him in my team. Michael Scott Porro is a big risk. Yeah, he is. Absolutely is. But where's my fun?
Have you?
Where's my fun?
I mean,
and actually, game week one might not be the week for fun.
Lee.
What?
Investing in the Spurs defence is never going to be fun.
Yeah, true enough.
But it's always going to be.
Andy's going to play that front five. He's going to be attacking like anything. No.
I mean, yes, he will attack.
Yeah.
But we'll also concede five.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I hear you guys are saying, Michael's also saying, needs a second Arsenal attacker. Yeah, it probably does. Yeah, it probably does. And I could do Jesus over Darwin.
No, you don't want to do that. You've got a Liverpool attacker.
Yeah, that's it. You see, that's
it. You can't have everyone.
That's it. You can't have everyone. I'm actually not. I'm not as bought into Gabriel Jesus as a lot of people seem to be on like X and places like that.
His non-underlying stats, you'd be better to have a second Arsenal midfielder.
Yeah, he does love missing a goal or two, doesn't he? I think that's it, isn't it? Mm. If I was going to double Arsenal attack...
I'd have a midfielder.
I'd probably look for a way to get from Mbeumo and Diaby to up to a...
Martinelli.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, I would too.
Yeah, probably. Or even a Havertz, maybe. Even, but no, Martinelli probably.
Havertz.
Probably.
Diaby's a better pick than Havertz.
I do like Diaby. I'm willing to go out on a bit of a limb and go for him. The Villa fixtures don't look too bad. I think they're going to be really strong this year, Villa. I think they're going to be a really good side.
Yeah, and they are strengthening to cover out the European stuff.
Yes.
So that's important.
I like him. And I think he's better than... who was the dude who was useful for us in FPL for in fits and starts last season? Bailey. I don't think Unai Emery is convinced that he's going to be fit all the time.
He's not.
He had a few minutes today, didn't he? But I think Diaby's going to come in and make that flank his own. I genuinely do. And at 6'5", in an attacking Aston Villa side, with a player like Ollie Watkins, right? Let's not forget what sort of player Ollie Watkins is. He is, and I've described him a little bit like this in the past, he is a little bit of a Kaney Firmino sort of player. He does love a little bit of working defenders. And he is a workhorse, Watkins, right? He will move defenders around.
It's not worth 8 million, though, this year, I don't think.
That's it.
Particularly with Diaby there.
And with FPL, I don't think I'm going to Watkins because I just think he's that bit overpriced. But I think he will really benefit those around him, including Diaby at 6'5".
At 6'5", he is the best value.
I think he's going to be good. I've got a good feeling about him. But so there we go. And I'm still obviously eyes on Rashford. He doesn't become a bad pick just because they've got this new lad up front.
The community shield for me will be
big. It's a big one, right?
It will be big this year because we're going to get to see the two teams that I am most unsure in terms of how I invest in extra to what I've got right now.
Yeah, I think you're right. Lack of Chelsea in here. I get it, guys. You're absolutely right. There's people in the chat saying no Chelsea in here. You're right. I think the more I think about it, and obviously we'll have another live stream before we kick off, but having Chilwell sitting there, waiting to come in for game week three, looking at the rest of the Chelsea from an attacking perspective in game weeks one and two, ready to move in game week three, that's what I think I'm going to do. Mm. And it could be that my Mbeumo's or my Diaby's become a Mudryk in game week three if he's showing signs of goodness. It could be that if I've got Darwin wrong, if we've got Darwin wrong... And actually,
we haven't got
Nkunku's the one to have or whatever, then you can move it, right? But the point is, you're trying to cover price points.
What I will say is that there will be a lot of people, and if you go on X or Instagram or wherever you're going to get your FPL content, there will be a lot of people that will tell you you're doing the wrong thing, not having Nkunku or not having Darwin or not having another.
Oh, plenty of opinions at this time of the season, yeah.
The reality is that we've got three forward slots, so you can't have... all of these guys that everybody's talking about. So you're going to have to make some tough decisions. You're unlikely to be able to build a front three that's got Darwin, Jesus, and Nkunku / Jackson because you've got to use one of them on Haaland. So that means you have to go without somebody. It doesn't mean that I don't think that Nkunku or Jackson or whoever else isn't going to score goals or do well this season.
Yeah.
It just means that at this opening point of the season... Darwin is the one I fancy the most. Mm. You can move around. If you get it wrong, you get it wrong.
Yeah.
But the reality is, by the end of the season, I think these players will roughly...
Yeah. I want a Chelsea attacker for game week three. Don't get me wrong. I just don't know who right now.
Yeah.
And I'm willing to use one of my transfers leading up to game week 3, having scouted them in 1 and 2 and having a bit more, well, way more information than we have now. Like, look good in pre-season, but let's think about it. Yeah. So listen, guys, lots still to do. Lots of drafts still to be done. I'm absolutely sure of it. Somewhere where you will find both of us is Fantasy Football Fest. So tell us about Fantasy Football Fest. Why should people come to Fantasy Football Fest?
What is going on there? Because it is one of the honestly, it is the best night of fantasy football stuff. So obviously this year it's happening on the Game Week 1 deadlines. It's on the 11th of August. Starts at 4 o'clock, runs through till midnight.
In London, right?
London, in Waterloo. Waterloo Arches. Yes. It is a fantastic, as Duncan, it's a fantastic event where loads of content creators go. Most of us will be there. Loads of members of the community go. Loads of our Slack channel guys come, our patrons, loads of people from just across Twitter and X and everywhere else. And it's a really nice experience. It's really nice to be able to just chat to people who love FPL, talk through things. We obviously can't watch the game, which is Man City and Burnley this year, but we get a live commentary from Mark usually, who's on the mic. And obviously when goals happen and stuff, it's just a fantastic evening. So if you can make it, tickets are still on sale, do come. If you're worried about coming on your own, I'm going to be there super, super early. So, and I think I'm on the door from 4.
Yeah.
So you'll be able to come and find me. And, you know,
there'll be a bunch of people. If you're in the FPL community, there'll be a bunch of people that you recognise there early.
Yeah.
So don't think you're turning up and the room's empty.
No.
There'll be plenty of people.
Come and, like, obviously Gianni and Ed and I and Az and Mark, we'll all be there really early. So if you get there at 4 and you're kind of like, oh, I don't know if I'm going to know. I'm pretty sure I'm on the door. I think Gianni told me that. So you come and say hello to
giving
me.
Giving you that job, is it?
Yeah, I normally do the early door stop, don't I? So yeah, but do come because that's what I was doing there. Look, checking people
there you
in.
Go. You and Holly,
So yeah, do come along. It is honestly brilliant. Duncan Ball, bring biscuits. There will be a quiz. There's
how can people find out more about it, Sam? What's the Twitter handle? The X handle?
FFFest. I think, I don't know.
At FFFest.
I don't know.
At FFFest.
Something like that.
Yes.
But yeah, go find it, buy tickets, come along. It is brilliant. It's in Waterloo.
There we go. All right. So that's Fantasy Football Fest. We will see you there if you are planning to attend Fantasy Football Fest on the 11th of August down in Waterloo. Sam, what is coming up on, all the different channels, right? We've got Sky, we've got Fantasy Podcasts, we've got Ohana again for our patron supporters coming up again in the next couple of weeks. What else is going on?
Loads of stuff. We booked in for some Sky shows. They're coming up. They'll obviously start for game week 1. This week, I'll be recording the next podcast with Kelly and Jules. This time around, we're going to be looking at the best players to own by position and going through and talking about that.
Very good.
So that will be coming up.
Are Kelly and Jules still in Australia doing the Women's World Cup? Or are they back?
No, they're still in Australia.
So what time are you doing this podcast? What time are you getting out of bed?
6. The podcast recording is at 6 in the morning.
Nice.
So I have to get up at 5 in the morning.
Love
in order, because of course they video it. So I can't even be in my, well, I can be in my pyjamas.
Get all glammed up for 6 a.m.
I will be in my pyjamas. So that's
beautiful.
Not great. Yeah, so that's happening this week. We'll be back on the case with Ohana and we will be back next Sunday. We're going to go out for dinner just before we come back next Sunday because it's our anniversary on Monday and you're not here. So we're going to Spurs during the day to celebrate our wedding anniversary, hopefully with a win and maybe to wave goodbye to Harry. And
it'd be Harry Kane's farewell game. Holy moly, that's going to be emotional.
And then you're going
to... What if he walks around the end doing all this and giving it the waves and stuff? Oh, no.
I've got it.
Yes, I knew it. Couldn't go a whole live stream without making you cry. Done it. Absolutely done it.
I'm going on a tissue.
Is it, you've knocked the mic or anything. Sammy be there with his kids.
Shut up.
With the girls. And what's his wife's called? Kate.
Shut up.
And they'll be there saying goodbye to the fans.
You're a horrible human being.
Waving, clapping to all the fans.
You're a horrible human being. Why?
Saying, Alfida saying.
Stop. Why is that?
We've got to end it there.
I was going to say.
I'm literally holding the mic up here. You've kicked it on your way.
I was going to say.
Go on.
That we'll be back with the pre-season predictions next Sunday. Make me cry.
Oh, yes, it will be pre-season predictions. Yes, because, of course, the season kicks off the following Friday. So, yes.
So we'll be back on Sunday
pre-season predictions.
Having
love
been
it.
Out for an anniversary dinner where hopefully Lee hasn't made me cry. We'll be back with the pre-season predictions and with an update on our drafts ahead of Game Week 1. And, of course, we'll do a Game Week 1 preview.
Very good. Just before we go, last question. John Robert Knight says, will the FPL show be back this year, Sam? Yes, the FPL show will be back this year. And you will be seeing a certain Miss Bonfield on there quite a lot.
Not crying.
Not crying, hopefully. And you'll be seeing me on there every now and again as well. So, guys, thank you very much for joining us tonight on FPL Family. I'm going to go and get my Bayern shirt.
You've got a Bayern shirt.
I have got a Bayern shirt.
I genuinely gave you one.
I genuinely have got a Bayern shirt.
Because the guys at Scout gave me one the day this all started. They gave me a Bayern shirt and I wore it. There's a picture of it on my Instagram if you want
to
see.
I'm going to go and wear that now while you recover from...
I don't know if I want him to go to Bayern. I think I'd rather he went to PSG.
Do you mind if I wrap this up?
It'd be easier for me to go and watch him in PSG, wouldn't it? I just have to get on the Eurostar and pop over to Paris.
Thank you for joining us this evening on FPL Family. If you're new to the channel, and then leave us a like before you go. Hit that subscribe button as well. Generally speaking, we are live 8:30 pretty much every Sunday throughout the season. So whether we are mid-game week or... Say again?
Will you be TikToking this year?
I'll be trying. Yeah, I'll be trying. I'm just getting used to X. Never mind TikTok.
But X hasn't changed.
I know, but TikTok... I did really well on TikTok to start with. And then I just sort of like didn't towards the end of the season.
Why?
I don't know. It's a lot of hassle, isn't it? Too much hassle. I'm not like... I've just noticed Harry's in the chat. I'm not like Harry, am I?
Oh, off the bench is back this year
as
well.
Harry's all over. Like, he's so levelled up this season. He's so on it, isn't he, Harry? And, like, the graduates and all that. They love a bit. I'm a bit old for TikTok.
What do you mean? You and Harry are podcast partners on off the bench this year.
It's first off the bench, me and Harry?
No.
Oh.
First off the bench is me and Ronaldo.
Oh, yes. Ronaldo's back. Love it.
It's me and Ronaldo on the first off the bench.
It's the first time I'm on it with Harry.
You'll always be with Harry.
Yes. Perfect.
It's just you and Harry causing chaos together. Because the best pod for me last season was the one where you were negging on Liverpool and Harry negging on Chelsea.
We just sat there, me and him, going, your team's crap, innit? Yeah, your team's crap. Yeah, we're all crap. FPL have been bad as well. Simon's in saying, please no TikTok, Sam. Please no TikTok. Get Lee off of TikTok.
But I just find it quite funny that Lee tries to do TikTok.
Oh, it's ridiculous, isn't it? There we go. Guys, leave us a like before you go. See you next Sunday for an update to all of our teams to see how we're getting on. I'm pretty sure Chilwell's going to be in there for me. I'm pretty sure Bowen's not going to be in there for you. We will know, I'm sure, by then whether Harry Kane is saying goodbye to the Spurs fans at the Shakhtar game and saying Alfie the same to his beloved Spurs. And we will see you this time next Sunday. Like and subscribe. Cheers, guys.
Bye, guys.